This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And with you on Sports Talk today from 1 until 2 o'clock. We're here for the next, 54 minutes or so. I'm sitting in today and all week, and it's my pleasure to do so. We'll have a number of guests today and throughout the week, and of course, we'll take your open line calls as always, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll free 877-952-7870. To simplify it, that's 877-WKAR-870. If you choose to dial your phone that way. Of course, Michigan State will be at the top of our conversation today, a day after that 58-57 gut-wrencher for Michigan State, the third straight loss for the Spartans. That was in Ann Arbor. I was there yesterday, and I felt going into the game that Michigan was going to win it. I don't do a lot of predictions, but when asked, I thought Michigan would win the game, and then by halftime, I changed my mind. I thought Michigan State controlled that game and was more in command of that game at halftime than the three-point lead would suggest. And then something happened in the second half. Michigan came out, went on a 10-2 run in that second half, and kind of took over control of the game. And I thought that was the difference in the game the first 5 minutes of that second half, when the Spartans were caught somewhat flat-footed and Michigan just had more energy. I still say that while it's the third straight loss for the Spartans, I agree with Tom Izzo, a lot of that is overbaked, because when you play the three teams they played in succession, you know, there's a very good chance you're going to run into a little slide, and they were a little bit of a victim of their schedule. That said, they could have won all three games, and they simply got to get more. They have to get more out of Brandon Dawson and their point guard, Keith Appling. I think Izzo is trying to deflect the pressure off Appling, and I understand that. And he played better yesterday than he did his last couple of games. Of course, there's that brutal turnover with a minute left when Trey Burke stripped him clean and went in for the tie-breaking bucket. He played a little bit better, but in the last three games, I mean, he's your quarterback. Izzo is a guard-oriented quarter. He considers his point guard his quarterback, going back to Mateen Cleaves and all the way through. His point guard is his quarterback. When his quarterback is off, just like as a quarterback in football, when he's off, your team is going to struggle. Appling is not yet on his game as he was a few weeks ago, and Brandon Dawson yesterday I thought was fairly invisible. He played 24 minutes. His line is 2 points, 5 rebounds, no assists, 3 turnovers. He took just 4 shots. They have got to get, and this guy is loaded with talent, they have got to get more out of Brandon Dawson and a little more out of Keith Appling. But Michigan wins the game. And what I'm amazed at this morning is the Associated Press college rankings have come out. And you can join us in conversation if you have any thoughts on the game before we go to our first guest. Mark Hollis, Michigan State's athletic director, is going to join us momentarily. Later in the show, Mick McCabe from the Detroit Free Press, the prep sports writer guru, the son of Swami, and Susie Merchant, Michigan State's women's basketball coach, will join us in this hour, too. We'll take open line between the guests. We can start now at 355-9527. But what I'm amazed at, as the Associated Press basketball rankings came out this morning, okay, Michigan dropped to number 7, with after that loss to Penn State, you can understand. But Michigan State has lost 3 consecutive games, and the Spartans are still in the top 10 in the country. I can't ever remember that happening. And I'm not questioning it, because I just said their difficulty of schedule is part and parcel. I think this is the ultimate respect for Tom Izzo and Michigan State, that they've lost 3 straight games and are still in the top 10 in the country. Izzo even commented on that last week at his press conference. It was Tuesday. He said, we've lost 2 straight games and we're still top 10 in the country. Well, now they've lost a third straight game and they're still top 10 in the country. I think that's pretty much an indicator of the respect Michigan State gets and has earned, and certainly the respect the conference has gotten this year and should get. I'm not the college basketball junkie that a lot of people are around here. I enjoy college basketball. I love the tournament like everybody does. But I'm not the junkie like a lot of the people that I know are. But I will say, given that this has been the best college basketball regular season that I can remember. The best I can remember in terms of close games, competitive games, Just craziness in college basketball. Before we go to Mark Hollis, let's take a call. 355-9527, and Mike is on line one. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. What you doing today?
Well, I saw you at the women's game, Michigan State game over there.
Yeah.
Cool comment on the Chrysler Center.
Yeah.
I went there before, and boy, was it a dump. But this time around, holy cow, that place is really nice now. We sat in some nice cushioned chairs,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the first row on the opposite side facing the MSU women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're kind of to their left.
Yeah, well, I cheated that day, Mike. If you saw me at the women's game a couple of weeks ago, I just took a seat in the front row because I hate sitting high. Now, this is where I'm going to get selfish about this, Mike. You're right. The arena is beautiful. The improvements and what they've done behind the scenes where you didn't even see. Matt Stegging, a Michigan State's broadcaster, and Will Thiemann and some folks were walking around touring the facilities. It's a wonderful facility. Selfishly, all right, read me when I say this. Selfishly, I missed the days when it was a dump and we could sit right on the floor because I love watching college basketball right on the floor. But because of the improvements, they're not stupid over there. They're selling those seats because they're so good, and the media is upstairs. And even the play-by-play, the team play, Will Thiemann for Michigan State, Matt Shepard for Michigan, even they call the games from way up high. So that's just a selfish thought. I miss the days when I'm sitting on the floor, but that's just me being a whiner. The building is fabulous, and it's fan-friendly, and they need it. I was there doing play-by-play for the University of Michigan basketball when Tommy Amaker was the coach, and privately, never publicly, but privately, he used to complain to me. I think I can say that now in private conversations. Can you believe this facility? He says, we don't even have a practice gym. We don't even have a suitable weight room. They have really improved things there.
Well, we walked around, just the seats alone were just fabulous, and then we walked around during halftime and walked around the center. Man, they put a lot of money, even in the restrooms and, you know, all around the whole arena. They put a lot of money into that, and it looked really, really nice. But anyway, we got to give a high five to Susie Merchant. She had a nice win at Purdue and also the one at Wisconsin. I think that pretty much put us at 700 wins.
I was going to get to that, 700. She's going to join us later in the show if you can stick around and listen, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, thank
Glad
you.
To
thanks.
Hear you on the radio.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Susie Merchant will join us later in the show. We'll address the 700th victory and where they are in the Big Ten tournament because they now get the first round bye, and that's significant. But I think the point Mike makes about Chrysler, yeah, the seating is great. The views are better except for the media because we've got to go upstairs now. But what's most impressive, and I didn't get to walk around as much yesterday as I would have liked to, is the concourse area and what they've done to the restrooms and the wider concourses and the displays they have behind the scenes. It is a wonderful facility. And for the amount of money they spent in it, it should have been a wonderful facility. All right, 355-9527. If you want to duck in here either now or between guests, Mick McCabe from the Detroit Free Press will join us at the bottom of the hour. Mark Hollis, Michigan State's athletic director, standing by on deck, as you will. He is he's a busy man these days with his duties as MSU's athletic director in his relatively new position in college sports on the NCAA tournament committee. He'll have a real busy couple of weeks coming up. In fact, Tom Izzo cracked on his radio show the other night that now we have Hollis on our side. Maybe he'll give us a better draw in the tournament. That's always a hot button on Selection Sunday. Who goes where? What seed? Where people start? The bracket they're in? Who got left out? Who are the bubble teams that got shut out? Who got jobbed? And I suggest even if you opened it up to every team, and if you had every team, if you expanded the field to 140, you'd still have a couple of teams and a couple of schools and a couple of coaches and a couple of fan bases that would be ticked off because even if you restrict it, if you restrict it as it is now, they've already expanded the field, okay? It's not 64. It was 32 at one time. When I was a kid, it was 32. Then they expanded it to 64. Now they have 68 in, and there are still people complaining. Mark Hollis, Michigan State's athletic director, joining us this morning. How are you, Mark?
Good afternoon, Fred. We're doing great.
Great and very busy. I don't see you as much anymore. You're running around and traveling a lot, aren't you?
We're traveling a little bit. It's, you know, in addition to the responsibilities here at Michigan State, we've been doing a little work for the NCAA. So off on a few committee meetings as well as gatherings for the NCAA basketball.
What was it, Mark? My memory is terrible. You know, was it a year ago you were named to the NCAA tournament committee?
I was named a year ago and then officially went on the committee September 1st. So I'm in my first year. I've got training all behind me, and we'll be heading down to Indianapolis like a week from today, where we'll be behind closed doors and going through the process.
Well, Izzo's already, he's already bucking for your support. You better get him a good draw. I'm sure he said that to your face.
He's actually been pretty quiet.
Has he really?
yeah, I think he understands the process that goes in, and it's, you know, there's a lot of numbers. You watch a lot of games, and in the end, you get down to really splitting, you know, very fine hairs between teams on different seed lines, and that's the process, the scrubbing process where you go through and, you know, evaluate every team against the one that's ahead or behind them, and you continually are shifting and debating, and there's 10 different perspectives that come into the room, and it makes for some pretty good conversation.
Mark Hollis is the voice on the other end of the line, Michigan State's athletic director, joining us on Sports Talk AM 870 today. Mark, I don't think people realize this. You told me this when you got it. It bears repeating. Now that you're in your new line of work with the NCAA Tournament Committee, you cannot attend Michigan State's tournament games, is that right?
Well, you can't attend the what's known as the second and third rounds, wherever they go that first time, because with eight sites, you basically have one committee member that's at each site, and you can't really step away from any controversy or rulings that you may have to put into play at that site. Once they get to the regionals, there'll be two of us at each of the regional sites. You can be at that same site, so... You know, right now I'm assigned to be in Dayton and Indianapolis. If Michigan State were to end up being assigned to Dayton, they'd have to move me and switch me with another committee member. But if they're in Indianapolis, I'm already assigned there. That can coexist.
All right, so that's pre-designed. So if Michigan State would go to the Palace, you can't go. You're not going.
No, I'm going to Dayton unless Michigan State's there. That's a given already.
Okay.
But, yeah, you're right. If I had been assigned to the Palace and Michigan State went there, they'd shift me from that site.
What about the Final Four? You all go to that, don't you?
We're all there. We all have different responsibilities at the Final Four. It's kind of like being back with Judd again. I'm the freshman, so you always get the crappy jobs. It seems like it's... You know, it's a great learning process. I think you have ADs from some, you know, other great institutions and a few commissioners, and it's a great opportunity to be around people from different parts of the country that you can, you know, kind of bounce things off of, even things that aren't related to basketball. So it's a great group of people, and we're like a little family.
Mark Hollis, MSU's athletic director, has joined us. What is it, 5.5 years now, going on 6 since you've been named?
Seems like 10. it's
a little over 5, isn't it?
Just a little over 5, and it's, you know, we really enjoyed it. It's every day's a challenge, as you know, and you know, tomorrow is never like yesterday, so things change so fast in this business. It's what keeps it exciting and entertaining.
And looking back, Mark, has the job that you dreamed of, there's no question, you made no secret that this was a dream job in your life, has it been more difficult than you thought, or every bit what you anticipated?
I think it's what I anticipated. I think there's, you know, you have a drive to have your alma mater be in position at the highest level, and I think there are always challenges with striving for those expectations, but they should never be lowered. It's, you know, resource, both generation and allocation is the most difficult part of an AD's job. It's not only with money, but with human resources and opportunities for student athletes, and it's trying to keep all those things moving at a clip is maybe a little bit more daunting than I think anybody realizes until they get in the seat. Having come up through the business, you know, I've seen a lot of the pros and cons of the job of being an athletic director, but at the same time, until you actually sit in the chair and have to make decisions versus recommendations, you're never 100% prepared for the job on day one, but it gets you pretty quickly.
Boy, as I go around town, and what I've learned in 30-some years in this business, Mark, as I'm sure you have, Don't believe everything you hear or read. Don't believe every whisper. Don't believe everyone who says he has a source that tells me. But I'll tell you the whispers I hear right now. Hollis has bigger dreams. He wants to run the Big Ten. He wants to be the president of the NCAA.
Wow. No, those are, right now I'm happy right where I'm at. It's, we love, you know, love this community. The kids are very well entrenched here, and I have big dreams, but those dreams are right here in East Lansing, and to achieve even greater heights than what we've had. It's, you know, this has to be a community-based athletic department, and the community needs to embrace, and that connection has to go both ways, and those are things that we're striving for right now, is how to, you know, how to engage Spartan Athletics even more than it already is within mid-Michigan and across the state, and part of our academic culture. I haven't achieved that initial goal. I think we're much better than we've been 20-some years ago, but we've got to continue that struggle, and that's the dreams that we have right now, is to keep that push.
Mark, with my television duties, I get to halves of games and parts of games, and, you know, on the weekends I see the full games. But my observation from when I see and when I go into Breslin is that this year the Breslin crowds have been more energized than any time in recent years. Truth, or is that my imagination?
No, that's my perspective as well. It's I think part of that comes with the elevation of the conference. You've got a conference. You know, we've lost three games, and we dropped in the polls, but we dropped to 10.
Right.
And, you know, I think that says a lot about the magnitude of the games, the teams that we're playing.
I just said that coming in before you came on. I'm amazed. I can't remember a team that's lost three straight games and is still in the top 10 in the nation. It's unbelievable.
It really is. And it's, you know, I think that's a testament to what the Big Ten has, and hopefully we'll see that play through in the NCAA tournament.
Mark Hollis, the one-time manager for Judd Heathcote, which is actually how you got your athletic start, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, a back injury took me away from the game of football and ended up here as a manager, and very quickly wanted to stay in this profession once I got under his tutelage. So,
when's the first time? I know you roomed with Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first time you recall meeting him?
Well, it was right in the gym. And it would have been my junior year. He kind of came down here and looked like, you know, we both looked very different than we do today with the sloppy mustaches and the long hair. But it was that junior year when he came down as a grad assistant, and I was a senior manager. And Judd kind of hooked the two of us up. You know, who needs a dating service when you have Judd? So it was an opportunity for two guys who didn't have a whole lot of money to rub the nickels together that we did and share an apartment, but also start a great friendship.
What kind of roommate was he, and who did the cooking and cleaning?
Oh, he did the cooking. He's an unbelievable Italian cook. His best spaghetti I've ever had. But, you know, he did most of the cooking, and we were pretty compatible.
Did you talk back then of big dreams at Michigan State for both of you?
Yeah, it's, you know, we both kind of did, and you know, Mariucci was somebody who was in the apartment quite a bit, so between the three of us, we were all, you know, making comments about what we wanted to do, about becoming head coach, about being an athletic director. So the conversations were, you know, pretty much on the top of mind as we were rooming together, and fortunately played out pretty good.
Was your dream then to run the athletic department at Michigan State?
It's funny you asked that. Joanne Barnes was on the was on the staff here with the State News, and she did an article my senior year, and quoted in that article was, "Someday I'll return here as the athletic director at Michigan State." So I guess you'd have to say, yeah, it's been a dream.
Yeah, since, Mark Hollis with us. Mike Krzyzewski took some heat last week. When the fans flooded the floor, I believe it was at Virginia, he was seen scolding a few of them and cursing as he went off the floor. But I think the bigger message there was this: rushing the floor, in his terms, is not fun, and it's dangerous. We've seen a number of flooding the floors. We don't see it at Breslin much anymore because there aren't any teams that you aren't supposed to beat. But is that a legitimate concern? It concerns me as I watch that. I was a little bit on Krzyzewski's side, Mark, because those fans that rush the floor are sometimes out of control, and it gets dangerous, doesn't it?
Well, the praise for Krzyzewski is he's one of those teams that gets rushed because whenever they get beaten,
right.
It's I guess you could say he's an expert in observing.
Well, and so is Tom Izzo lately.
No question. I've seen some violent, you know, I think kids get excited. It's nothing an athletic director wants to see happen at their home venue because of the potential danger. There is that excitement that the students have, and I've seen some that have been right on the cusp of being extremely, extremely dangerous. And, you know, there's no way that you can ever manage a court rush. It's just something that gets out of control within the time span of just a few seconds. So it's, you know, it's something that I know we're continuing to look at. I know the Big 12 took a strong look at it a few years ago, and it's a hard 3 seconds to manage. And if you remember back in the day with the goalposts before the ones that couldn't come down, those were another pretty big concern for athletic administrators back in the day. So
I'll never forget the one against Iowa here that came down. Remember that?
Yep. But they always show up on ESPN.
Yeah, they do. Football, you've been a proponent of not expanding the conference schedule, but that's almost going to be impossible to avoid here in the next few years, isn't it?
Well, I think with the expansion to 14 teams, you almost have to step back and say, okay, here we are at 14, and if we don't expand, how frequently are you going to see the teams that you've enjoyed playing for so many years? And it almost puts you in a position where in order to keep those games going, you have to look at it. So, you know, we're going through the process right now of looking at 8, 9, 10 and trying to figure out which numbers make the most sense and what the schedules are going to look like. And quite frankly, we don't have a 2014 conference schedule at this point. So the need to expedite the process is heavy at hand.
Of course, part of this depends on what they do, but is Notre Dame going to disappear from Michigan State's schedule down the line?
I hope not. It's you know, it's a great rivalry for us. At the same time, our priorities are our Big Ten Conference, and they would be right at the top of the list of the games that we would desire to play as non-conference. But as you know, when you go to 9 and 10, it's going to start limiting what opportunities you have on your non-conference schedule. So, you know, we respect that program greatly and hope that rivalry can continue for a long time.
I haven't checked my email here in the last couple hours. Is Mark D'Antonio naming a defensive coordinator yet today, or is that cat not out of the bag yet?
Well, we have a defensive coordinator. His name is
Offensive coordinator. I'm so sorry. Boy, you'll call my bluff anytime you can.
But it's, you know, he knows where he's at. I know where he's at, and we're just going through a process right now of making sure
it's a process.
Everything's good. Yeah.
So nothing imminent today.
It could happen today.
Okay. All right, Mark, you're off the hot seat. I appreciate your time as always.
You didn't even ask the tough ones.
Well, they're coming up.
I'm
doing this all week. I'll see
you
Friday.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Fred.
Mark Hollis, Michigan State's athletic director. I think that's been, I'd say it to his face. I don't need to kiss up to Mark Hollis. I think that's been the most significant change in Michigan State athletics in the last 30 years. Is him being appointed athletic director. Things just run better around here than the days when I was in Detroit watching from afar and people were making jokes about Michigan State. And I'm not pointing fingers at any certain athletic director. I'm just saying things are more stable now than they've been in maybe my lifetime here at Michigan State. We'll change the subject to high school sports. Mick McCabe, the Free Press prep guru, son of Swami, probably now Swami, now that the great Hal Schramm has left us. We'll catch up with Mick McCabe, and he'll fill me and you in on what's going on in the high school hoop tournaments for boys and girls as the districts go tonight. For the boys, they open. The girls' regionals start tomorrow. Lots going on in high school sports. We'll catch up with Mick in a moment.
The Pope Emeritus has slipped off his red loafers for a pair of hand-cobbled brown ones. Now the Vatican's focus turns to his successor. Cardinals will meet in the Sistine Chapel to choose a new leader for the troubled Catholic Church. I'm Ari Shapiro, running a conclave, plus the opinion page. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That was Talk of the Nation, coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
AM 870. It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Mostly sunny and a high today of 33. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 20. Tuesday, snow is likely with an inch of accumulation and a high of 32. It'll be mostly cloudy on Wednesday with a high of 35.
Back we are here at AM Sports Talk 870. Fred Heumann in conversation with you until 2 o'clock, and I'll be here all week from 1 until 2. Tomorrow we have Drew Valentine, who I saw yesterday at the Michigan game in Ann Arbor watching his brother Denzel play. Drew is now finishing up his senior season at Oakland University. He, of course, is the former Lansing Sexton star. He'll join us tomorrow, as will Lynn Henning from the Detroit News from Florida to talk some Tiger baseball and what all else is going on. We also have a ticket giveaway for the Wisconsin-Michigan State game Thursday night. That's a 9 o'clock start. You can register to get tickets that we'll give away tomorrow here on WKAR. Call 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 to register for the drawing for tickets tomorrow for Michigan State and Wisconsin. With that, we've talked with Mark Hollis, Michigan State's athletic director. Let's make the transition into high school sports, and more specifically, high school basketball. The old friend used to be the son of Swami, Mick McCabe from the Detroit Free Press. Are you just the Swami now, or are you still SOS?
Absolutely. That would be disrespectful to the great Hal Schramm.
How long ago did Hal Schramm leave us?
87.
He's been gone that long, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he was Mr. Sports in this state, wasn't he?
He wrote the book on how to cover high school athletics in the state of Michigan.
How long have you been for the Free Press, Mick?
This is my 43rd year.
Is it really? 43 yep. years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It hasn't been preps from day one, though, has it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to help Hal. But, I mean, I was started, like, as a copy boy and then did high school stuff on the side, too. And I've done other stuff. I covered Michigan football a couple years.
Right.
Michigan State basketball, men's, and I do Michigan State women now, too. But I did the Mid-American Conference football and basketball, but I always did those things in addition to doing high school athletics.
Before we get, because you do cover women's college basketball, when you look back, before we get to the high schools, didn't Michigan State nail it with the hiring of Susie Merchant 6 years ago?
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a defensive genius, I think. Does a tremendous job at figuring out what you do best, and we're taking that away. Now, if you're just flat out better at a bunch of spots, there's nothing anybody can do.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to give her team a chance to be successful every time they take the floor, because they're going to – I mean, that game that she beat Duke in, I think it was her second year,
right,
that was a signature moment there. Mm-hmm.
Mick McCabe is with us from the Detroit Free Press. The high school district basketball tournament starts tonight. There's been an assumption around here, Mick, and I'd like your spin on this. I know you cover the whole state, but you have your thumbprint on most of the areas. It's not quite as strong at mid-Michigan in the Lansing area this year. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Last year, I think, was much better, and the year before was really good, too. And this runs in cycles. Especially when you cannot control who you're coaching. You just coach whoever shows up, walks in the door, and, that's what you've got to work with. And, some years are better years than others.
Are you talking about school of choice there?
Well, not necessarily school of choice, but that plays a little bit into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, some of the private schools can control who they coach.
Who's the best team in the state, Mick?
Well, Pershing's played the best, but I think the best team is Romulus. Pershing beat Romulus before Christmas, and Romulus has improved dramatically since then. Mm. And they're going to play each other in the first quarterfinal at Callahan that Wednesday. It's a 5 o'clock game, and that should be for the state championship.
Yeah. The girls go tomorrow. I remember, I tweeted you last week when two of our major powers got knocked off on the same night. 19-2 Eaton Rapids lost on the same night that 19-2, help me out here, Eaton Rapids.
Eaton Rapids
lost on the same, it's going to come to my mind, Eaton Rapids lost to Jackson Northwest, which ended up winning the district. Mm-hmm. And on the same night, Charlotte beat another 19-2 power.
Was that Olivet?
No, Olivet, you're right. Yeah, okay. Very good, Mick, and I live here. That's why you're the guru. Olivet and Eaton Rapids lost on the same night. Now, those were two teams that, and East Lansing lost last Friday. So there's three teams that we had for the girls that could have gone a long way, and they're all out.
Yeah, and the one thing about East Lansing, sure, it was an upset because we had East Lansing ranked, but they were very fortunate to beat Grand Ledge the Tuesday before that, like ten days before that. They had to hit a three with 5 seconds to go to win that game, or they would have lost and ended their winning streak in their CAAC blue. But so that's only a minor upset. Them losing to Grand Ledge.
Right. That wasn't the shocker that the other two were.
No, just very, very surprising.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mick McCabe is with us. There's been controversy for a few years now, or I've heard it as much this year, about seeding for the high school tournament. Would it ever happen, or would you support it?
It could happen if someone decides to. I would not necessarily support it. I think it's great when you can end up with a Plymouth-Salem playing Plymouth-Canton on the first day of the districts, just like I think it's great if Saginaw and Saginaw Arthur Hill play each other on the first game of the districts. Mm-hmm. And they're both in the same district, so what you know, it just is a great way to begin a tournament. If that, I used to be for seeding. Now, I am definitely dead set against seeding in the districts. If they want to try and seed the entire tournament so that you would get Pershing in one bracket and Rymalis in a different, and they could meet in the state finals, that's a different story. And, you know, that would be okay with me. I have no qualms with that. But I like it the way it is now. I think it gives us some really good matchups early in the districts, and then you know we've got that quarterfinal game to look forward to.
So you don't like the thought of trying to avoid two powerful teams meeting in the first round of the districts by seeding the districts.
No, I don't. I don't like that. Because then you're going to get potential blowouts in the first in the opening night.
And yeah, that's true.
I remember covering number one Orchard Lake St. Mary's hosting number two Detroit Redford St. Mary's opening night of the districts, one and two. Why not? I think it's kind of cool.
We've addressed this before, though not recently, this business of during the regular season, the boys playing the 6 o'clock game, the girls playing the 7:30 game. I think you wrote once, what's the fastest way to clear out a gymnasium?
After a boys' game, right?
Schedule a girls' game after a boys' game. It's in all four of the CAAC conferences here, where they alternate every year, I guess. How many places in the state do this?
Well, some do. Like on Fridays, they'll play doubleheaders. But what's worse, and I think the CAAC does this also during the week, is same day, opposite sites.
Right.
And, boy, you know, in Grosse Pointe, when North and South boys are playing, the whole town's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the girls are playing at the other site, well, too bad.
Right.
It's family and very close friends, and that's it. It's a shame. I think what would be best is if they use the S word, Saturday, like they do in Ohio and Indiana.
Hmm. Is that right? I didn't realize that.
A lot of places play on Saturday. The problem is that athletic directors are working their butts off, and they don't want to be there a sixth day.
Well, I can understand that.
And then the custodians, I mean, in some schools, you can't even practice without having a custodian there, and that's, you know, several hundred dollars. So, that's probably why they don't want to do it. But, boy, same day, opposite sites, that's killing somebody, and it's going to be the girls.
Hmm. You didn't know Cindy Short, the athletic director at Lansing Everett, at all, did
very
you?
Very casually, but I know she was very effective.
Yeah, she was.
Very, very nice person.
That hit this community hard. She lost her life on a snowmobile 10 days ago, and just in my dealings with her, she was as helpful as any local athletic director. And I suggest they're going to have a meeting tomorrow at Lansing Everett to decide what to do, but I'm going to suggest she's going to be a tough cookie to replace in a very important school there.
Yeah, that's one thing. You don't want to follow the legend, and that's what she's done for that school. And whoever comes in, they're going to say, Cindy didn't do it that way.
Right.
And it's going to be difficult to replace her for sure.
You covered Keith Appling in high school, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely. Loved him.
You did?
Didn't like him, love them.
So, because I'm the guy that said, I saw him once, twice a year, and I thought he would never be the kind of player he's already, even though he's struggled lately.
Right.
I never thought he'd be this good at Michigan State, but you would disagree with that. You thought he'd be a terrific player here.
Yeah, he was, oh my goodness, fearless.
Really?
And they played Detroit Southeastern, and they beat him once, and he said, they're never going to beat us. They are never beating us. I said, you sure you want that in the paper? He goes, yeah, put it in the paper. They're never beating us. So the next time they played, Juwan Howard, who was a very good player, too, for Pershing, was hurt and didn't play. Derek Kearney hit three three-pointers in the first quarter against Pershing. And Appling went nuts. Kearney finished with 11 points, by the way. But Kearney was fearless, taking the ball right to the rack against all those guys for the first half and scored a bundle of points. In the second half, when he couldn't breathe, he set everybody up, and they beat him again. I really like the kid a lot.
How about Derek Nix in high school? How'd you like him?
He's what a good kid. Mm-hmm. I was stunned when Izzo got a commitment from him. Because I said, what are they recruiting him for? Because I thought one leg was shorter than the other. But he was just, that's just the way he ran because he was overweight.
Mm-hmm.
But he had dropped a ton of weight when his junior season ended and really had an excellent spring and summer and was definitely a Big Ten player. And then Keith was hurt early in his junior year, which mean that Nix was their main man, and he was tremendous. I say he won the Mr. Basketball Award based on the first half of the season his senior year, and then Keith got healthy, and then Keith went crazy. But yeah, I really liked him a lot, too.
Mick McCabe is with us from the Detroit Free Press. I've asked you, I'm sure I've asked you the greatest player you've ever seen. 43 years, let's just do a top five now. Can you do it off the top of your head, the top five boys players you've covered in your 43 years?
Well, Irvin, that was simple.
That's top of the list. That's number
one.
The
greatest, right there. And Jay Vincent was awfully good, too. And Judd always said it, too, that, if Irvin wasn't there, Jay'd be the greatest player in the history of Lansing. But Irvin was there.
Are they one and two?
Not necessarily. See, I remember Spencer Haywood, too, even though it was before I started working at the Free Press.
Right.
He would be number two. Chris Webber would be number three.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce
Flowers, is he in there?
He was very good.
Berkeley High School.
Yeah, they made their coach, Steve Rhodes, made them always come out second to warm up. And they were playing at Birmingham Seaholm in the district. And Bob Sherwood was a coach at Seaholm, and he wasn't bringing his team out. And so Steve wasn't bringing his kids out either. So finally, with 30 seconds to go before the game started, out comes the Berkeley kids. Bruce Flowers got one warm-up shot, and then he hit 21 out of 22 shots.
Wow.
So he was very good. But, Tommy Lagarde at Catholic Central, who went to North Carolina, and he's the answer to the trivia question, who's the first high school athlete ever to hold a press conference.
Is that right?
Yep.
Tom Lagarde.
Yep, he was going to North Carolina.
So we got Irvin, we got Weber, we got Jay, we have Spencer Haywood, that's four.
Yeah, I know there's a bunch of other guys I'm missing.
Is Joe Bear in the mix?
Well, not really, because by his senior year, he was one of the greatest juniors I'd ever seen. But by the time he was a senior, he was just bigger and stronger than everybody else. And if you guarded him at 18, he backed up to 20. And if you backed up, if you guarded him at 20, he shot it from 22. And I know he had the record before Keith broke it, scoring in the finals. But he was 20 of 40 in that game. If Keith Appling took 40 shots, he might have got 72 points. and he just shot it and didn't play defense. And I think that was a figment of the other newspaper's imagination about how he was, going to be a great pro and all that stuff. But I had backed off him during his senior year completely. He could never hold a candle to Terry Durod or Johnny Davis, oh my gosh, from Murray Wright, who went and played at Dayton and then was in the NBA for a long time.
Hard to keep it to five, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Steve Smith, he was tremendous.
A doughboy. Persian doughboy.
Yeah, played for Johnny Gostin, and Johnny never did a lot to get him the ball.
Is that right?
But, yeah. And in fact, this was funny. Bill Frieder, who always, you know, thought he was the greatest recruiter ever, was talking to Judd, and I know Don Chico was coach at UD at the time, and this was right after the early signing date, and he goes, "You signed Steve Smith?" He goes, "Who's Steve Smith?" And Don Chico said to Frieder, "He was our number one recruit." But Judd got him, and oh, he was tremendous.
He was, and what a guy.
Yes,
what
wonderful guy.
Mick McCabe, always great catching up to you.
Yes, sir.
We'll do it again down the line. Thanks for your time.
Anytime.
Mick McCabe, son of Swami from the Detroit Free Press. He talked about Susie Merchant and how they nailed it with his hire. Coincidentally, she's going to be on with us next as we close out. Man, an hour goes fast. Aaron Young is my producer, hitting all the buttons for me and trying to make me look good. You're getting there, Aaron, but still a little ways away. We still got 10 minutes to mess this up. 355-9527 or toll 3-877-9527-870. Susie Merchant's with us as we move on Sports Talk 870 right after this.
People are living under the illusion that the American dream is working for them, and it's rigged by the guys at the tippy top.
Laura Dern plays a naive whistleblower on the HBO series Enlightened. On the next Fresh Air, her co-creator and co-star Mike White tells us about the season finale. Join us.
That is Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
It'll be mostly sunny today, our high in the low 30s. Tonight, a low of 20 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, we're expecting up to an inch of new snow. Tuesday's high, 32. On Wednesday, the high will be 35 and it'll be mostly cloudy. This is Scott Pohl.
All right, back we are at AM 870 Sports Talk. Fred Heumann here till 2 o'clock. I'll be here all week. You're stuck with me, Uncle Fred, if you want to join us in conversation. Number of guests coming up later in the week. We're going to catch up with several people, including Lynn Henning and Drew Valentine tomorrow. Mickey Redmond, the Red Wing television analyst, former Red Wing great, is going to join us later in the week. Some other surprises as well we'll hold off on until we've absolutely wrapped them up. That's coming up all this week on AM Sports Talk 870 from 1 until 2 o'clock. My pleasure sitting in here today on WKAR 870 AM. Reminding you once again, we're giving away tickets to the Michigan State-Wisconsin game this Thursday night at the Breslin Center. You can call and register your name in the ticket giveaway, which will announce tomorrow. Call 517-884-4783 to register your name for tickets for the Michigan State-Wisconsin game, which sizes up as a pretty sizable game here as they try to jostle around and see who doesn't play that first round game in the Big Ten tournament. Man, there's a lot of big basketball coming up. That's why they call it March Madness. And let's say hello to Susie Merchant, Michigan State's very successful women's basketball coach who led her program to a 700th victory over Wisconsin yesterday. Hi, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
All right. Nice to see you smiling yesterday. I was in Ann Arbor and missed your senior day festivities, but that's always a special day, isn't it?
It is. It's mixed emotions, and I tried not to get too... I don't really talk about it before the game because I want the kids just to stay focused on the mission and the task at hand, but certainly afterwards we had a nice opportunity to celebrate a victory and you know, get a chance to talk about the seniors.
You're the number 4 seed now in the Big Ten tournament, which starts later this week. You'll play the winner of Michigan-Indiana. That game will be Friday. How important was it, how significant was it to get that first round bye and not have to play 4 games in 4 days, Susie?
Well, you know, Fred, you've been doing it long enough to know that's kind of a big deal, especially, you know, for a situation like us where we're a little bit depleted in the injury department and these kids have logged a lot of minutes. You know, I wish we were the 3 seed a little bit when you look at the bracket, but, you know, we lost out on the tiebreaker to Purdue, even though we beat them, it goes to, you know, the teams above you and they played Nebraska twice and we didn't. So that's just kind of how it went.
But, well, that doesn't sound fair.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, it's part of the deal when they look at like the overall winning percentages and things against the teams. They started with Penn State and then obviously the next team down, but you know, I'm fine with it. I mean, you got to play somebody somewhere sometime, as they say. So we're looking forward to, I mean, I'm assuming Michigan will win that game over Indiana, but stranger things have happened, I guess.
So that would be a third battle with Michigan.
Yeah, we've done that before, actually. Another year we played them in the quarterfinals, I believe it was, and ended up beating them. But, you know, we lost by one, just like Tom's team did down there in Chrysler. And, you know, they played out of their minds, I thought, and we played a very good game, too. It just, we came up on the short end, and so we'd like another shot at them. I know our kids would.
Yeah, do they embrace that opportunity? I mean, just because it's Michigan on the other side, you've talked reverently about growing up and how much Michigan and Michigan State meant to you. Does it mean as much to all your kids, and does Michigan bring out a little extra in them, or is it just another game to them?
No, I think it definitely brings out a whole lot of extra in them. I mean, our Spartans, my team, I know, really, you know, understand what that rivalry is. Nobody downplays it. It adds a little more fuel to the fire. There's no question. I'm sure they feel the same way, but I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not going to speak for Wolverines anywhere, that's for sure. But I know my team is, you know, really would look forward to the opportunity and the challenge again.
Let me ask a competitor a loaded question, okay?
Okay.
I know how much you are. If we played checkers, you'd want to beat my rear end. I just know that about you, okay? And you're in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You're in.
Yep.
So no coach will ever admit this. Like I said, it's a loaded question. With your depleted roster, with your injuries, with as much basketball as you played, I know you're not going to throw a game, but would it be more beneficial for you to get eliminated and get ready for the NCAA tournament and not play three games in 3 days?
Yeah, you know, there's two sides to that. I mean, as a competitor, of course, you're going to go out there and we're going down there to win the thing.
Right.
But you do have to kind of look at it. The advantage maybe on the women's side that's unique compared to the men's is that once we play those three games in 3 days, for example, is we do have a week.
Yeah,
so our selection show is 7-8 days later.
Right.
So on the men's side, I mean, they're literally watching the show from the arena, trying to figure out where they're going. So for us, I think it's not as terrible, but you know what? In a depleted roster, three games in 3 days, you don't do that in the postseason. So I have mixed emotions about it. I really do.
Mm-hmm. 22 wins this year. As with all of the preseason surgeries, would you say this team has overachieved, Susie?
Yes, I would definitely say, Fred, that group of kids overachieved. I don't think we had any superstars on our team. We had some great and gritty performances. But we just had a collective group of kids that just would grind it out. And even our win over Wisconsin, it was probably, you know, frustrating to watch for our fans because it was not a very exciting game and a frustrating game in some ways. But, you know, we were winning ugly at times. And as long as we're winning, I guess you take it, you know, no matter what. So for this team to have an RPI, you know, in the top 30, I think we were 27 or 8 or somewhere, it fluctuates. But, you know, being the top 30, to know you're in the tournament. I mean, even a year ago, Fred, you know, we sat in that room and we weren't 100% sure we were in the tournament.
Right.
So, you know, I would tell you that I am probably, of all the years I've coached here at Michigan State, and maybe even across the board, I couldn't, you know, write a better script for these guys. I mean, they have just really overachieved and faced some tough adversity. And I'm very, very proud of them because we're not a great individually loaded, high-talented team compared to maybe some of the other teams we've played, but we play well together, and that is on them, and their chemistry is all about them. So I'm very, very proud of them.
Susie Merchant with us. You're completing season number 6. Man, it doesn't seem like 6 years. Has it flown by for you?
You know, in some ways it really has, and then I just stop and I look at my son, you know, because mm-hmm. Ty was 3 months old when I got the job, and mm-hmm. every time I see him growing up before my eyes, it just, you know, it just really puts that starting point in relevance for me, and, you know, it's still, to me, every day I wake up and I'm very proud to be the coach at Michigan State and very thankful.
It's funny because a week ago I was sitting around the office and with nothing better to do with my life, I was looking at some old videos, and I ended up telling you about this, Susie. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the video yet, but I saw some videos of women's games at the Breslin early 90s, late 80s, and I had to stop, and I had to look like four or five games. It just stunned me, the difference in the atmosphere and the electricity. Now, Breslin's changed a little, too, but you could have driven a cannon through that place when women played at the Breslin, and to see the energy now. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that yet, but it just amazed me.
I did. I actually, as soon as I got it, when Jim handed it to me, I went out to my office and took a look at it. I haven't had a chance to share it with my team, but,
yeah. You
know, as we, in the women's game, Fred, we're trying to figure out what we can do to continue to grow our game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really nice reminder, you know, not that long ago, mm-hmm. to take a look back and see, you know, to appreciate maybe how far we have come as well.
The game has grown so much since when you played.
Yep.
I mean, players are better almost everywhere, aren't they? I mean, almost twice as good, aren't they?
Yeah, the athleticism, the size, the speed. You know, I think what's dropped is maybe the skill set. You know, they play summer all the time, and a lot of them are in the gyms, which is great, but they're in the gyms playing games versus getting shots up. And I think that's part of the game, although the athleticism, you know, is really fun to watch and to see some of these girls be able to do some of the things they can. You know, I look at Annalee Sprickerl, who's 6'4" and can shoot threes and take off the dribble and post. I mean, a superior athlete, a Clarissa Bell. I mean, it's fun to watch that athleticism. And, you know, I think the only thing I'd say is what we've gained on one side, we've maybe lost a little bit. And maybe that's the same on every level. I don't know on the men's side as well, but certainly on our side.
I don't know Madison Williams real well other than talking with her, your injured center, who's been injured twice now. But, boy, I'd like to know her. I watch her and how she's involved and how she supports her teammates and through all the adversity she's been through, her upbeat personality, how she's another coach on the bench, how she's right there for everybody when they come off the floor. I mean, I say it must be a joy coaching her, and yet you haven't really coached her. But she just seems like one terrific young woman.
She is. She's spectacular. I mean, there's no other word for her. And it's interesting you brought her up because yesterday my husband obviously was at the game and he had a chance to talk to Paige Sauer, who runs, you know, the facility out there in Diamonddale, the summit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she told Gary, and I got to look her up. I'm not sure what center it was, but when she played at UConn, she told Gary that she played with a center that for 3 years in a row, same exact thing, had 3 ACL injuries,
mm-hmm.
right in a row, never played.
Mm-hmm.
The year she came back, she was Big East Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to look up to see who it was. It just isn't coming to me right now. I don't know who it is.
You're going
to
share that with Madison, aren't you?
I am. I'm like, I'm going to look up the kid's name and check her stats, and I'm going to make sure Maddie knows that.
So this isn't a pipe dream that she can return. You're counting on it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to give up on her. I know that.
Right.
Whether I'm counting on her, I don't know, but I'm going to be 100% behind her. The thing I think we will do, though, Fred, is sit on her a little longer. I don't think we'll try to get her ready for November, even though her ACL injuries, you check the box, you know, and that's kind of when I think we're just going to kind of ride this thing out and, you know, just make sure she's 100 and maybe even 110%, if that's possible, healthy and strong before we put her on the court.
All right. You play Friday, probably against Michigan. You leave Thursday or Wednesday night?
Yep. We'll leave Thursday at noon, head down there. And I shouldn't say down there anymore. We're
right,
going
Chicago.
Over now.
It's different. Chicago. Yeah. We get a practice there?
No. Yes, we get a 30-minute shoot around from 9:10 to 9:40.
Okay.
On Friday.
As I always tell Izzo, we're with you, win or tie. Just don't lose. Okay.
God, you guys are the best. I just love you, Fred.
Thanks, Susie, for your time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks a lot. Take care now.
Susie Merchant, Michigan State's women's basketball coach. It's already that time. Aaron, our producer, Aaron Young, thank you for keeping me in the saddle, playing the music, telling me our time is up today. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 until 2 o'clock. Lynn Henning from the Detroit News will join us. So will Drew Valentine from Lansing Sexton, who's now at Oakland University. And we'll take your calls. We'll have a ticket giveaway for the Wisconsin-Michigan State game. Call 517-884-4783 right now to register. We'll announce that tomorrow, right, Aaron? That's tomorrow on this show, AM Sports Talk 870. Fred Heumann with you today. We'll see you tonight at 6 and 11 on WLNS Channel 6. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow here on AM Sports Talk 870.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.